And as we know, during the pandemic, we don't have any musical or entertainment acts coming through Dallas-Fort Worth. So we've switched things up over the last month and a half. Found this musical survey on Soch. And so we've all taken turns answering the survey. Band I hate, band I love, band I should see live, etc. And so we've run through everybody here on the crew. So from here on out, we're going to start inviting special guest stars to join us during this segment. And by the way, we've taken now two segments. We're 8:55 and also Gordo's Corner 9:15. We've occupied that for more time because as we're finding out, as we're going through these surveys and telling stories about why we like these bands or these songs, it takes some time. So Gordo's Corner on Tuesdays is now at 9:35. And so for the next two segments, our very first special guest star taking the musical survey, here he is, making his triumphant return to the station that he built, the godfather of the Little Ticket, joining us now via incredible satellite communication as we broadcast from our bunker, is the old gray wolf, Mike Ryan.
This is non-disclosure! This is non-disclosure!
Hey, boys.
How's it going? Who's that?
Wonderful. It's good to be with you.
Yeah. It's the wolf.
All right.
I told you.
I told you.
So good to hear your voice again.
Well, it's good to be back on here with you guys. Good to get the vibe again.
How is retirement in a pandemic?
Weird. Really weird. It was going so well for a while, but now just try and get through it like everybody else, you know?
Are you isolating? Are you being pretty good about not seeing or touching human beings?
I'm trying to be better about it. It's hard, though, because, you know, I'm a handshaker and a hugger and all that stuff just by nature. And my first instinct when I see somebody that I know and haven't seen for a while is to shake their hand or, you know, give them a pat on the back or something like that.
And a little tongue?
A little bit, yeah, sure. Yeah. If situations warrant, the time and place is right.
Are you wearing a mask with a wolf on the front?
No, I'm not wearing a mask.
With a wolf, on the front.
Four repeat runs.
No, I haven't gone quite that far yet.
And no big action for petty theft, I guess, either, outside of an appearance here or there, eh?
No, we did a streaming thing at Lava Cantina some weeks back, and that's been it. That's all we've done. We've sit here and watched gigs fall by the wayside left and right.
Oh, man.
It's time to open this economy back up where you guys can start gigging.
That's right.
Sure is, man. Let's do it. For no other reason, let's do it for that.
Yeah. Let's get it done today.
Get petty theft back and playing.
Well, we're really excited about you taking this survey here for the next couple of segments. And you're the first guy we thought of when we decided to branch out to special guest stars because we know how much you like music. And for somebody who is as into music as you are, a survey like this can be very difficult. So I'm anxious to see how you've answered all these questions. So if you're ready, let's dive into it.
Let me just say one thing. This was difficult. Because every one of these questions could have, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 7 answers to it. But nevertheless, we're ready to roll. So hit me with one of them.
Okay. And the only rule for those who are just joining us for the first time during this survey segment is that you can't use the same band twice. So band I love cannot be used for a band that changed my life, something like that. So here we go.
Okay.
And,
can I add one thing to that?
Yep.
I love you.
Just for the sake of not taking the easy way out, the Beatles are not on my list.
Okay.
Whoa. Even though they probably would belong on there. And Petty is not on my list.
Wow.
He
probably
would belong on there. So
that surprises me.
This is non-disclosure. This disclosure that you're having right now.
I'm trying to come up with something a little bit different here.
Okay. Good. I like it. And you know what? I think all of us have gotten to the end of our lists and people have been surprised that we didn't include a band. So, yeah. All right, here we go. And we're doing this in the same order for everybody. And it always starts with band I hate. So the band you hate.
Here it is, the band that Rhymes hates.
The band I hate, Van Halen.
Wow.
Really?
Yes.
I think that was one of Sean's bands that he hated last week.
You didn't like early Van Halen, rhymes?
I didn't like early Van Halen. I didn't like later Van Halen. I didn't like Van Hagar. I don't like any of it.
You can't appreciate what Eddie did for the instrument?
Yes, I do appreciate that. He's great, but in the history of rock and roll, there has never been a more overt display of style and showmanship over substance.
Yes.
Oh, man. David Lee Roth as a front man, you didn't think that was entertaining?
Yeah, it's entertaining, but it's all style. It's all flash. It's all showmanship. And it's all, wow! You know?
Ryan's just pulled something.
Well, I sure did.
Did you just high kick when you made that noise?
Yeah,
David Lee Roth high kick.
I did. I hurt my groin, too.
Yeah, the gray ball sack fell and obscured the ain.
Oh, hey.
Scared the aim.
Yeah, it did.
What?
Jordan and I know it's a problem.
Mike said it did, so I guess he was right.
All right, that's starting off with a bang. Band he hates, Van Halen. Okay, band you think is overrated.
Band I think is overrated. You boys are not going to like this.
I was afraid you may go here.
Uh-huh.
You two.
Oh, my
yes,
gosh.
Yes.
Michael. Michael.
What's wrong with you? I thought we brought you around on them.
You did. I don't hate them anymore. I just think they're overrated. I mean, I appreciate them somewhat now, but I fail to see just how that band has reached the status that it has.
I don't know. Pretty much being great on every level.
Aren't there unique elements that no other band has? Like, there's not a guitar player that sounds like The Edge, and Bono's a unique frontman.
Yeah, there's a pretty high level of being unique. I just don't think it is worthy of the place that it holds and the hype that it's gotten over the years.
But you're not getting it.
Yeah, I mean, I hear it and I like it, but I don't get it.
I swear, Mike, you're further away from the microphone. Farther away from the microphone.
Is this better?
Talk right into it.
I am. I'm on top of it now.
Well, no. Okay, so I know what's happening here. Blake should have had you switch your computer over from the computer on your mic over to the actual mic that you're holding in front of your mouth. Because I believe you're coming through your laptop mic.
Uh-oh. That's not good.
Yeah. All right.
I thought we tested this yesterday.
He still sounds okay.
Yeah, he
sounds
fine.
We'll deal with it.
You sound fine, Mike.
You're good.
I can hear Mike typing.
It's okay.
I remember, I think it was before the first U2 concert you ever saw. It must have been. And I can't remember, you know, circa 2001 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we were both going to the same show. We weren't sitting together, but I remember seeing you maybe outside before the show started or something. I said, "Oh, I'm glad you're going to see a U2 show." And Mike said, "Yeah, I really need to see what this spotlight thing is all about."
Because Bono would carry around a spotlight at the time.
Spotlight thing.
And I would always parody it at Ticket Stock. Yes, I want to see what the spotlight thing is all about. Did you enjoy them live?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Okay. Okay, good. Okay, let's move on to question number 3. Band you think is underappreciated?
Band I think is underappreciated would be the ELO.
Electric Light Orchestra.
Interesting.
That's great stuff.
Yeah.
Didn't they sing Don't Bring Me Down?
They did.
Yeah.
They also sang this. They have many, many other hits, and I love all of them. I love the production. I love the overblown nature of it. Actually, I guess what it comes down to is I'm a big Jeff Lynne fan. And I think anything Jeff Lynne does has a certain element of magic to it. He's a guy that people have run in over the years to help them out when they had troublesome projects. Petty has done that on several occasions. And Petty has credited him with getting his career back on track before.
Isn't Jeff Lynne like the only surviving member of the Traveling Wilburys? Well, I guess Bob Dylan's still alive.
No, Dylan's still around.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just had a number one hit.
Yeah.
And when you were at the zoo, you looked a little bit like Jeff Lynne.
I did.
Same hair, anyway.
Yeah, those days are gone.
Is ELO a slightly poor man's version of Queen? With all the production?
Yeah,
and
yeah, but they're not really as flashy and showy. They don't have the you know, real flamboyant front man.
Uh-huh. I mean, Jeff, what is flamboyant?
Jeff Lynne pretty much stands there, plays his guitar, and doesn't say a whole lot when you go see him live.
Okay.
I always love this song.
All right. This is going to be interesting. Band you love.
It's not going to be the Beatles or Petty.
No, it's not going to be the Beatles or Petty, but it is going to be Steely Dan.
Oh, yes. I should have guessed that.
Yes.
Oh, I love Steely Dan. Really, you don't like them?
Here's the thing. Is like they are a tune out to me. It's one of those that I decided against early on and never have given them a chance, and I've always punched out on them. But I really, really do need to do a dive into them because I do recognize the greatness of just the complexity of what they would do, too. It's pretty fascinating the musicianship these guys had.
Yeah, there's really nothing like it. There's really nobody out there doing this kind of thing the way these guys do. And I've always just been so incredibly drawn in by it. I can't tell you how many times I've listened to every single record they made. I don't think there's a sound on any of their records that I haven't heard and noticed and paid attention to before. I've taken as deep a dive on their stuff as I have on anybody's over the years.
Didn't you say you lost your virginity while listening to them?
No, I didn't. They weren't around then.
Wasn't that what you said? You lost it late
with a P1's mom.
I did, but they weren't around then.
The P1's mom.
No, it was not a P1's mom. It was a fight.
I don't know. He lost it that late. Oh, God.
It could have been, though.
Yeah, remember the P1 at Ticketstock who claimed that Ryan's dated his mom.
Yeah. And it was true. You had gone out on a date with his mom, right?
And we thought that P1 might be Ryan's son.
Right. Yeah. That was the narrative we had crafted. That you conceived him in the back of a Plymouth or something.
In the Kimball parking lot.
That was fight night. That poor kid had to fight through that.
I know. Oh, we're all laughing about Ryan's
clenched
up face. issuing a fighter into a woman.
Gosh.
Well, what? The scenario is not that far-fetched.
Do you remember when you first discovered Steely Dan?
Yeah, I do.
Me? Oh.
No, Mike is taking this survey, not you.
I do. Right where they first came out, their first song was Do It Again. And I heard it on the radio. And there wasn't anything on the radio quite like that. So I listened to it and... You know, it's got that long intro, then the vocals come in. I thought, well, that's kind of a unusual sounding singer on this thing. Then in the middle, you have a sitar solo of all things. It's a very unusual record, but I thought they'd be a one-hit wonder, and that was it. Well, a few weeks later, here comes Reeling in the Years out. And everything about that was just so great that, I mean, you couldn't help but be blown away with that. And sometime, probably a year or two later, I heard the entire album, and I just couldn't believe how great every single song was. And that's really when I became a fan.
Great stuff. All right, band you can listen to over and over again.
Band I can listen to over and over again. All right, there's a proviso here. I can listen to the Jefferson Starship over and over again, provided what I'm listening to is sung by the great Marty Balin. The Starship had three singers in their band. And this is before later on when they started doing, you know, Jane and all that stuff. This is early Starship.
This is a great song.
And provided it's sung by this guy, Marty Balin, I can listen to this over and over again because there's something about his voice and his persona that I'm really a sucker for.
Is he still alive?
No, he died a couple years ago.
Mm. Way to go, Gordon.
Well, I didn't know.
That was a sad day for me. If you've ever heard their song, if you've ever heard their song "Miracles," he sang that too.
Yeah, great voice.
Yeah, it's a little deeper cut.
So, did you like them after they became Starship?
No, I didn't, because he was gone by then, and the whole thing changed. It turned into a big 80s mainstream rock deal.
What was the worst Starship song?
That's easy.
What?
Built This City on Rock and Roll.
Rhines loves that song.
No, he doesn't.
I don't love it, but I probably don't hate it as much as most.
Yeah.
Band that made you fall in love with music.
Okay, there's the chalk here that probably most people my age would play. And that would be Elvis. And Elvis has his place for sure. But there was one other that was right up there with him for me. And that one other was the great Buddy Holly. Hmm. Well, that'll be the day
when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day. Was it Gordo that was running down the great Buddy Holly a couple weeks ago?
What are you talking about? You shut your mic off.
I think he was.
What?
Was he really?
Yeah, it's just kind of what's so great about Buddy Holly.
I just said that I don't get it. I mean, I don't understand. Maybe, Mike, you can fill me in on the historical context, the time frame of which he came out. Because it wasn't too far after Elvis, was it?
No, it wasn't too far after Elvis. But it was more a band. It was more a self-contained band. Like, all those guys did their own playing and singing. And when they would play a gig, that was it, you know. That was what you saw. And he recorded with them, and they did it all. It was all self-contained out there in Clovis, New Mexico.
I thought he was from Lubbock.
Well, he was, but he recorded in Clovis.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. There was always just something about him, his persona, his singing, the great songs that he wrote that really connected with me. Maybe on a closer level than even Elvis did.
Dang. I've worn the watch that was on Buddy Holly's arm when he died.
That's pretty awesome.
You remember that? They brought it up to the studio.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Immediately put it on.
Is the time frozen?
Yes. It's frozen at forever o'clock.
That's right. He lives on and he will live forever.
I felt the power. I wonder what happened to his Stratocaster, whether it was in that crash too. He's the one who really made the Stratocaster famous, I guess, right?
He's the first guy I ever saw play a Stratocaster.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, it would be years, probably up until, I don't know, Jimi Hendrix or somebody like that before the Stratocaster would really come into vogue.
Yeah, that's because, about right.
The Beatles and most of the Brit bands, they didn't play them.
Do you remember where you were when you heard the news that he had died?
It was after school. They broke in on KLIF, the Mighty 1190, with the story, which had happened like overnight. Things traveled rather slowly back then.
Were you more affected when you heard the death of Buddy Holly or the death of the Big Bopper?
Well, in view of the fact that they both died the same time, there's, you know, some sort of loose connection. But, yeah, the Big Bopper didn't affect me all that much. And neither did Richie Valens, although he had a movie made about him.
Yes, he did. And what's the, is it that Richie Valens flipped Waylon Jennings for it? Or was it, do we have that story wrong? The seat on the plane. The last seat was between, or maybe it was Waylon and somebody else. I can't remember how it worked, but Waylon's involved in that somehow.
Yeah, it was. Waylon was going to get on the airplane, and they'd been on the road. It was cold. You know, it was up in the Midwest in winter. And they'd been out there forever, and they really needed to do laundry more than anything else. So this really all happened because of laundry, Gordon. They needed to get somewhere where they could they would have a little time to do their wash. They didn't have a real long flight or a real long hitch ahead of them. But they just so had it with being on the road that they really wanted to get there. And Waylon had already made arrangements for him to be on the plane. And he and Richie Valens flipped for it, and Richie Valens won. So Waylon.
No,
gave
I think
up
it was Tommy Alsop.
Yeah,
that's who it was.
That's the thing that gets confusing.
Waylon said he's not getting on that thing. And I think it was the
that's
deal.
Right, Tommy, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, it was Tommy Alsop.
Tommy Alsop, the guy who for years owned Tommy's Hard Luck Saloon or whatever it was down there at Deep Ellum. That was one time when his luck wasn't too hard.
Did all right there.
He didn't own the Alsop's grocery store chain.
I don't. He may have been kin to them, but he didn't own them, no.
Don't talk so country.
And I know his son, Austin. Austin's a singer-songwriter now.
Yeah, so it was Tommy who played in with Waylon or Richie Valens. Is that the way it worked? We'll get
Tommy
this story.
Tommy played with Buddy Holly.
With Buddy Holly, okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Okay,
Waylon, I nailed that story.
But Waylon was on the scene. Waylon
yes,
was involved
he was.
In this some way. He was on the scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, Waylon took one look at the plane and said, uh-uh, no way I'm getting on that thing, and neither will them Duke boys.
Okay, Mike, I appreciate next question.
Humor. Thank you.
Band that changed your life.
Did it change your life?
Okay, there's a chalk here, too. That chalk would be the Beatles, and they obviously did change my life. But there was another one that is 1 and 1A with them, and that 1A is the Rolling Stones.
Interesting.
Okay.
I didn't know I knew this about you.
Yeah, when the Rolling Stones came out, for a long time, I was way more into them than I was the Beatles. The Beatles came out first. I got more familiar with them first. But then when the Rolling Stones came out with this, which probably was the first Rolling Stones song I ever heard, they kind of turned me away from the Beatles a little bit because there was something more raw and more edgy and a little less pop about their music. And later on, I would learn that really all they were was a British cover band of American rhythm and blues. But
yeah.
Their interpretation of it was really raw, and it really hit me in a funny place.
Song's almost country, too.
Yeah, it is.
And they love country.
So, yeah, the Rolling Stones were right up there with the Beatles. And in view of the fact that they exposed me to a whole genre of music that I was only somewhat aware of, then I'll give them the nod here.
All right. Band that surprised you.
Band that surprised me. Get ready, Gordon.
Uh-oh.
The band that surprised me was Chic.
Ah, yes. Yeah.
Your plan's working.
Listen at the great Bernard Edwards.
It's amazing. It's a great song.
Duran Duran toured a few years ago, and I was interested enough in them by then to go see it, so I did.
And the did you pull out the Stingray?
Yeah, and the opener was Chic.
Really?
And, yeah, and I was kind of indifferent to it. I thought, okay, all right, Chic's opening. We'll go see it, see what it's about. And I came away from that absolutely blown away by them. Of course, the great Bernard Edwards was gone by then, but they found a more than adequate replacement for him. But I really liked them, and I finally started to understand why people talked and thought about Nile Rodgers the way they do.
Mm-hmm.
Because every band has a magic man in there somewhere, and you can tell that the magic man in Chic is Nile Rodgers.
The guitar player who then has gone on to produce how many, good Lord, how many famous artists has he produced
untold,
since then?
Untold. He's worked with so everybody, and when you see Chic, you will you'll come away understanding why people want Nile Rodgers to work with.
Mm-hmm. Now, are those the same women that were with Chic back then?
Yeah, I think so. Holding up pretty good, too.
Yeah, I know it. That's the reason I asked, because they look great.
Yeah.
Boy, they had a lot of great songs. The Freak, Good Times. God, yes. The list of their songs.
Well, heck, Good Times. How many offshoots of that song have there been? That bass line has to be...
been reused.
To me, that is one of the handful. It has to be a top five bass line of all time, as far as iconic.
Yeah.
What about this, though?
Mm-hmm. This is awesome.
I mean, you can say that about virtually any Chic song.
Love that bass.
God, he could just groove so well.
All right, next. Guilty pleasure. What is your guilty pleasure?
My guilty pleasure, June's, is the number one hot babe of all time, Madonna.
Same as mine.
Oh, he's going way back.
This
here.
First album.
Listen how many notes she misses while singing.
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? It's a Madonna.
Pew, pew, pew.
So you say she was pitchy at this first record.
Oh, my gosh. Which is great. I'm okay with it. Boy, she was such a game changer when she came out.
Oh, yeah. Oh gosh.
You think she was cute? Think she set many of our pants on fire?
But you couldn't tell those guys at the zoo that you thought Madonna was awesome, though, could you?
No, not really. I had to stay on the down low with that.
You want to stay sort of sober, like, take a drink every time she hits a pitch.
She's all right. Oh, man.
A good auto-tuner would fix some of that.
Okay, was she cuter in Borderline or in Lucky Star? Which video?
Lucky Star. That's the one that...
That's the one with the real iconic look is in Lucky Star. Yeah. But go back and watch Borderline.
Move. Oh,
yeah.
Man. Holy
and the
cow.
Dancing is so basic in Lucky Star.
There's nothing to it.
But boy, was she cute. Yeah. That started a whole style. And I remember her and Cyndi Lauper seemed to be rivals or something in the crazy style department before Madonna really pulled away.
So,
Mike, will you still drive around and crank up some Madonna?
You bet I will. Madonna comes on the radio, I'm all over it, man.
Vogue, crank
that
one.
Sure, all of it. All of it.
Vogue.
There was really cool production in that.
I love
she found
Like a Prayer. I will rock out to Like a Prayer like you won't believe.
Really?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
That video creeped me out too much.
Oh, okay. Okay, here's the whole George's rant about, hey, there just can't be a black Jesus. There just can't, man. Come on.
No. It wasn't that, but I don't know. Do you need to make out with Jesus?
Mark
can play for a Peter King interview.
Didn't she do that in the video?
We
had nothing to do with him being black. I don't care about that.
All right, two more questions for Mike Reiner, who's joining us for the musical survey here in Biggest Show Coming to Town. Band you should have seen by now.
There are some out there that I have a good bit of regret over not seeing, because for one reason or another, you'll never get to see him again. The Beatles certainly would be one of those. But my most recent case of regret has to do with Rush.
Ah, yes.
For years, I thought this was nothing but music for teenage mental patients.
All right.
And I don't know how, I don't know why. I'm not sure exactly how this happened or why it happened, but over the years, I started to come around. I started to listen to it with a little bit more, I guess, paying a little bit more attention to it, a little bit more discerning ear than I ever had before. And I found myself getting real drawn into it. And then my friend, the good officer, gave me some Rush videos because he's a big Rush guy. He gave me some videos, and I started watching those. And now, I wish I'd gone to see him when I had the chance, but they'll never do it again now that the great Neil Peart is gone.
I'm really surprised during the 80s when they were so big and you were at the Zoo that you didn't make your way to a Rush show.
Yeah. It was not my bag then.
Have you seen that documentary on, I think it's on Netflix now. It's a great Rush documentary. It was before Neil's death, obviously.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, I need to see that then.
Is it called really The Golden good. Microphone?
No, it's not called The Golden Microphone. But it's interesting that Neil Peart's story, because he lost his wife and daughter, correct?
Yeah.
In fairly short order? Or did they die in the same accident? Or I forget what happened.
I know something happened. I'm not sure exactly what. Like I say, I'm not real up on their backstory and everything.
Yeah, Gordon.
Well, at least you got to see Birmingham do it.
You guys love U2 because the same guys stayed together for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Rush is another case of that. You know, Neil Peart was the new guy in Rush because Lifeson and Geddy Lee, I think, have known each other since they were like 12, have been playing together.
Hmm. All right, Mike, last question. Great band to see live.
There is one and only one, Bruce, and only Bruce.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right. Excuse me, Bruce, can you let Mike talk about you?
What a terrible reduction.
God.
You don't like caveman Bruce Springsteen?
Get the caveman!
There's just nothing like it. Regardless of what you think of the music, there is nothing like seeing Bruce live.
You know, George killed Clarence Clemens.
I did not.
You did too.
Both of these guys killed him.
I was being respectful to him. You came up and were shooting his wheels off.
I was not. We interviewed him at the, where was it?
Before the Mavericks and Heat. 2006.
Yeah, and like 4 days later, he was dead.
I know.
Mike, how many times have you seen Bruce?
I'm probably pretty well into the teens.
Wow.
Whoa.
And that started at his appearance at Gertie's before he ever went big time. Gertie's was a place over on Lemon Avenue. You remember Gertie's?
Well, I never went there, but I remember the ads for it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The building's still there.
Gertie's.
It's a pet supermarket now.
Did you meet him?
No. He was just playing a gig there. They used to run in some pretty, you know, not huge bands, but good bands that were just pretty low level, you know, but you heard him on the radio every now and then. And he was just starting to make his way up. And I'd read a story in Rolling Stone about it. He'd had a story in Rolling Stone done. They talked about just what incredible live shows this guy did and how big he was getting on the East Coast and everything. Well, one night I was driving down Lemon Avenue, and I drive by Gertie's, and there on the marquee says, "Tonight, Bruce Springsteen."
Huh.
And it just happened to be that I was
horny,
knowledgeable of a young lady that worked the door there.
I know.
So I went up to it.
Knowledgeable of a young lady.
Yes. And so I asked her if I went up there and said, "Hey, will you let me in?" She said, "Sure." And I went in there. I started counting people and counting the show was just about to start and counting me, bartenders and waitresses. The count was 18.
Wow.
Off.
Yeah.
That's great.
And was that this?
Go ahead. Was that the what?
Don't be awkward asking.
No, I wanted him to continue the story.
You know it's your turn now. Go.
Could you please continue, Mike?
Oh, my gosh.
The count was 18, and he was playing like there were 18,000.
Awesome.
It was a great show.
Oh, it was an awesome show. Incredible show.
Was Gertie's the same place where you played pool with Led Zeppelin?
It was foosball with Robert Plant, I think, right?
Yeah. That was Mother Blues.
Foosball with Robert Plant.
Yeah.
That's going to be the name of my talk show someday.
Actually, it was air hockey.
He's not involved in it.
Air hockey?
Yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah. Air hockey with Robert Plant. That was Mother Blues.
When I think of Mike's interactions with famous rock stars, I think of air hockey with Robert Plant and door dinging Don Henley.
Yeah, you door dinged Don Henley.
Yep.
Didn't you tackled Elvis at an ice machine?
No, I didn't tackle him. He just walked by.
While you were getting ice for your groin or something.
Well, I was just getting ice for a beverage, not for my groin.
Yes.
Before we beat.
My groin has never needed ice.
And then Stevie Ray, what kind of contact did you have with him?
God, lots. All over the place. There were numerous times when we bumped up against each other.
So he knew you by name?
Oh, yeah.
They were friends.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he would know me by name.
And what was the last time you talked to Steve Ray before his death? Have you ever tracked that down or thought through that?
No. I'm not sure.
Okay. Thank you for joining us.
I'm not sure exactly when the last time last conversation we had, but we're having, you know, our fair share of them back then. I would see him, you know, quite often when he was around.
I thought y'all had a big falling out.
No, never. Never. I didn't know him well enough to have any kind of falling out with him.
Quit trying to make up falling out with Stevie Ray, tackling Elvis, all these stories.
Made up stories.
No, they're not. Ryan's had interactions with a lot of famous musicians.
And they all paint me in a really bad light, too.
Yeah, they do.
Mike, this has been an exceptional treat. Yeah. We cannot thank you enough. Survey. A lot of fun.
Thank you, boys, for having me. I'm here for you anytime you may want.
Okay, we'll call you tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, take care. Wash your hands. Be careful.
Got to. Don't get VD.
All right, we won't.
Okay,
there he goes. The great old gray wolf.
Bye, boys.
Bye, boys.
Bye, boys. Bye, boys. Bye, boys.